How can you make your organization more efficient, effective, and successful? Part of the answer is to make it more human, according to John Sills, author of the new book, The Human Experience: How to Make Life Better for Your Customers and Create a More Successful Organization. John is a managing partner at the customer-led consultancy, The Foundation, and has advised organizations such as Sky, The Body Shop, eBay, and UNICEF. He joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, I'm John Sills, author of The Human Experience and managing partner at The Foundation. 25 years ago, I started my career on a market stall in Essex in England. And since then, I've worked with companies around the world to make things better for customers. I'm going to share with you five insights from my book that was released in 2023. Insight number one, organizations are full of humans who aren't allowed to act in a human way. The difference between the past and present of customer experience first dawned on me during a family holiday a few years ago when we took a trip on a beautiful old steam train. The journey started with a friendly guard welcoming us on board, pointing us to the right carriage and making a show of punching a hole in the paper ticket that my overexcited son was holding. We settled into our seats, and what seats they were. Deep leather cushions you could fall asleep in, each with its own spacious wood panel table to spread our picnic out on, next to a huge window made for daydreaming out of. A fully stocked trolley service passed through the train with freshly made food and piping hot drinks. As the train pulled out the station and the smoke cleared to reveal the rolling hills, my son said to me, "Daddy, is this what your commute's normally like into London?" And I had to laugh and say, "No, son, emphatically it's not." And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because surely the sign of progress is to make things more efficient for customers and make things cheaper and quicker without necessarily reducing the quality. Yet it feels to me like we've been perfecting the functional experience over the last 20 years, but we've lost that emotional human experience. Organisations are increasingly like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, able to get to where they need to get to, but without the thing that really makes them different and special. And the thing that we all treasure the most, having a heart. And this means that organisations have been left filled with humans who aren't allowed to now act in that human way. And it's not just me that thinks this. We did a survey not long ago and asked customers in the UK what they thought. 85% said they felt that organisations had now become impersonal and had lost that human touch. 83% said they felt organisations now take customers for granted. 81% said they felt organisations prioritise cutting costs over creating a great customer experience. And 78% said they believe they receive far too many feedback surveys, and that's people that have volunteered to take a feedback survey. And it's that statistic that leads me on to my second insight. Insight number two, the myth of customer feedback. If you imagine your life like a wedge going from left to right, at one end, you've got all the things that really matter to you. You've got your hopes, your dreams, your ambition, your friends, family, your job, your career, the things you want to achieve and the things that get in the way. As you come further down the wedge, you've got the services that you use to help. Who are the people or the organisations that you trust to help you to get through some of these challenges and help achieve your ambitions? And right at the end of the wedge is one of the companies that you use, because none of those companies take up too much importance in your life. However, in this epidemic of feedback surveys that we're living in at the moment, nearly all of the information collected is at the thin end of the wedge. What do you think about us? What do you think about our service? What do you think about our products? Would you recommend us? Very little of the feedback and information coming into organisations is at the thick end of the wedge. What matters to you? Tell me about you and let's work out how we can be most useful to you. A couple of years ago, I was running a project with a housing company and they asked me to interview some customers who'd recently moved into their houses to see how they were reacting to any problems that they'd had. I interviewed this lady called Lizzie. She was a wonderfully bubbly character. And she said to me that she loved her new house, that there hadn't been any problems at all. In fact, the first 25 minutes of the interview were her telling me how wonderful the experience had been compared to the last place that she'd been in that she described as a drugs den. But I knew there'd been some problems and I really wanted to understand what she really thought about them. So I said, "Lizzie, was there anything wrong when you first moved in on that first day?" And she said, "Well, I guess the dishwasher gap was a little bit small." And that was a bit annoying because I couldn't get my dishwasher in. I said, okay, was there anything else that was annoying? And she said, yeah, the driveway was a bit narrow. So that meant that we couldn't open the back doors. And therefore my daughter has to get into the front of the car to get out. I said, okay, was there anything else? And she said, yeah, the banisters were missing actually. Two of the banisters were missing at the top. So my daughter's fallen down the stairs a couple of times and my husband has too. I said, okay, was there anything else? And she went, yeah, there was a brown patch up where the loft was. And when they opened it up, a whole load of brown water came pouring out and went all over the carpet. And when they put the carpet back down again, they didn't put it down properly. So my husband tripped over that too and sprained his ankle. Finally, I said, Lizzie, was there anything else that was a problem? And she said, no, nothing else. And her daughter ran past and I said, excuse me, what's your favourite thing about the house? And she said, oh, the garden. I love having a garden. And Lizzie said, yeah, she's right. The garden is great. When it rains, though, it does flood and come into the living room. And Lizzie had given 10 out of 10 on her customer satisfaction survey. Now, this just goes to show, whilst it's important to understand what people think about those transactions, if you really want to create amazing experiences and services for customers, you need to understand what's really going on in their lives. You need to observe them and understand them, not just take for granted what they're saying on a piece of paper. And this matters in organisations. Because all of these feedback surveys and all of this customer data, well, this convinces leaders that they're close to what matters to their customers. Whereas in actual fact, they're only close to customers' opinions of their business. Insight number 3, nobody cares about your business as much as you do. Or the myth of customer loyalty. I used to use a local taxi firm. They were fantastic, friendly, polite, lots of cars available. But they had some troubles too. You could only pay by cash, or you had to phone up if you wanted to pay by card. And you never knew where the car was. It was always just around the corner. I used them for years though, despite that, until one day this thing called Uber came along. An Uber allowed you to pay by card and you could see exactly where the car was. So overnight I switched and I stopped using the local taxi firm that I'd used for years. About a year later, my local taxi firm caught up. And they released their own app that meant now they were local, had lots of cars. I could pay by card through the app and I knew where the car was. So overnight, I stopped using Uber. And this is because customer loyalty is a myth. What matters is staying useful and crucially staying more useful to your customers than any of the alternatives. We're only really loyal to friends or family, maybe football teams, people that we know, people that we've grown to love, but nearly always people or something where there's an emotional connection. When it comes to organisations, we're never really loyal. We just like to stay useful. And we like to be with organisations that are useful to us, whether that use is the right price or a good product, or whether it's useful from a status point of view. Maybe you buy Apple phones because you want to be an Apple person. But as soon as that price increases or the product gets worse or the reputation of the organisation gets damaged, then you soon find an alternative to use instead. And this matters because if organisations and leaders in organisations believe that customers are loyal, then they start taking them for granted. They stop trying. They put all of their efforts into recruiting new customers and onboarding new customers and no efforts in keeping customers or keeping customers happy. So the safest thing to do is to not believe in customer loyalty, but challenge yourself to stay useful every single day. Insight number 4. You need to let your humans be human. 4 years ago, I moved into a new house and I decided that I really wanted one of those big, comfortable reading chairs, one that you could really get lost into by the fire. So we went to the local furniture store and we were in luck. On the day we went, they had an ex-display furniture sale on. So some fantastic, comfortable chairs at half their normal price. I went in with my wife and son and we started looking around and we found one that we really loved, a big yellow chair. There was only one problem, which was we'd driven there in quite a small car full of children's toys. So I went and spoke to the person behind the till and I said, look, if I buy this chair, can I get it delivered? And he said, no, I'm afraid it's ex-display furniture. We can't do any delivery on that. So I went and I thought about it for a while and I thought, no, I do really want this chair. Let's see what we can work out. So I went back to the guy and I said, okay, can I take the chair out to my car and see if I can get it in the boot? And if I can, then I'll take it. But if I can't, I'll just bring it back in. So he went upstairs and he asked his manager and he came back down and he said, no, I'm afraid you can only take the chair off the premises once you've bought it. So I thought a bit more and I said, okay, well, can I buy the chair, take it out, see if I can fit it in the car? If I can, I'll take it. And if not, I'll bring it back in and get a refund. So he went upstairs and he asked his manager and he came back down and he said, no, I'm sorry. No refunds on X-Display furniture. Once you've bought it, you have to take it. So I thought a bit more and I said, okay, what if I buy the chair, leave it inside the store, take my children home and take my wife home, empty the car, come back about an hour later and put the chair in then. And he went upstairs and he spoke to his manager and he came back down and he said, I'm sorry, sir. Once you buy the chair, you have to take it immediately. You can't leave it here. Now, by this point, my son is jumping up and down on the chair, shouting at any other people that come past, this is our chair, this is our chair, you can't buy it, go away. And so I'm under quite a lot of pressure to make a decision. So I decide, I'll buy it. I really want to buy it. I really want to get the chair. I'll fit it into the car somehow. So I buy the chair and I say to the guy, who's about 21, big, muscly, everything I'm not. I say to him, can you help me carry it out to the car, which is in your car park, 5 meters outside the store? And he says, of course, sir. Of course, not a problem at all. And so we pick up the chair together and he carries it all the way to the door. He puts it down and he says, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not insured to carry it any further than the door here. You're going to have to take it yourself from this point. So him and his colleague stand and watch as me and my wife, who's 4'10", pick up the chair and try to squeeze it over into the car whilst my son is running around the car park playing chicken with all the oncoming vehicles. It's a fantastic example of where all the common sense and all the humanity has gone from customer experience. There was no empowerment to make the right decision and to make things better for customers, just a rigid sticking to the rules, which clearly made no sense, given I was a customer trying to buy a product and it was incredibly hard to do. Insight number 5, why Swiss Rails have the best trains in the world. Of all the organisations that I studied and all the time I spent researching the book, there was one experience that stood out more than anything else. And that was an experience I had just before COVID, travelling through the Swiss countryside with a group of 30 octogenarians researching a rail holiday tour they were on. As the Swiss train went through from Geneva to Zurich, I'd heard about the famous Swiss efficiency, and so was secretly quite delighted when the train broke down, thinking I'd have a good story to tell. But then something unexpected happened. Within a couple of minutes, the train guard made his way to our group along the train. And he said, I'm really sorry. The train's broken down. We're going to be stuck here for a while. I know that you're a big tour group and you've got another destination to go to. And I think you're going to miss your connection. I can only apologise for this. But don't worry. As soon as we get moving, I'm going to come back and let you know exactly what's happening. I'm going to let you know what time the next train is you can get on, and I'm going to make sure you get there. As he walked off, we got a phone call from an unknown number, and it was the head of operations at Swiss Rail, saying, I'm really sorry, I've heard about what's happened, and I know you're a big group travelling through our country. If you need anything, give me a phone call, but the train guard will look after you. You've got my number just in case. 10 minutes later, the train starts moving again, and true to his word, the guard returns to me and says to the group, okay, here's the situation. You're going to miss your connection by about 15 minutes. When we get to Zurich, the next train you need to get is going to be on platform 14. Now, that's quite a tricky platform to get to from where we are, and there's lots of work going on in the station at the moment. So I'm going to have someone meet you at the front door. When the train pulls in, we walk down to the door, and true to his word, there's someone there waiting for us with an umbrella for us to follow. All of us walk around the station onto the train that's waiting for us. They've already reserved a carriage for us because we had a carriage reserved on the previous train. And as we get on, they gave us tea and coffee vouchers to apologise for the inconvenience. It was the most wonderful customer experience that I've experienced, and completely different from my normal train experience that I would have back in the UK. There's lots of reasons why that might be, but more than anything, it was about ambition. A ruthless, ruthless ambition to create a great customer experience. One of the 5 enablers that I talk about in my book, the ways of working that organisations have to make sure they can create this great experience for customers and let their people be people, let their humans be humans. Of all the companies I studied and all the experiences I've had, though, there is one piece of advice that remains true and simple more than anything else that I think organisations can do to make things better for customers. And that is, if in doubt, be human.
Thank you, John. That was John Sills with 5 big ideas from The Human Experience, how to make life better for your customers and create a more successful organization. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.